Proverbs chapter 10 this evening. We're only going to read the first verse. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. Notice he says here in this passage, "The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." Father, we thank Thee again this evening, the opportunity to come together. Lord, we pray tonight for Your blessings to be on the reading of the Holy Scripture. We pray tonight for help, for guidance, for leading. We pray, Lord, that You speak to our hearts by Thy Spirit and by Thy Word. Help us with this text and this book, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we were in chapter 9, the latter part of it, titled "That Stolen Waters." Tonight, just verse 1 to begin this section. This is the second section of the book of Proverbs. Most of the remaining chapters, not all, but most of the remaining chapters are of a different style and composition, with most of the verses each one having a different subject. Not all of them, but many of them. In other words, the sentences are very short, pointed, weighty, making comparisons between virtues and vices. So that's what we're going to be seeing through the majority of the rest of the book. Not everything, but most of it. I'm titling the message this evening, "Distressed Parents and Wayward Children." And I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. I want you to see in Holy Scripture that God has a word for parents with wayward children. And I want you to see also that it's not uncommon for children to rebel, not only in our society, but also in the Bible, in the Old Testament. I'll give you some examples of that. It's nothing new. It's nothing new. It's not that it's right. It's not that it's good, but it's nothing new. The devil will use this to discourage many parents and cause them to doubt God's love and His Word when they have a child to go wayward. There are many godly parents that have had rebellious children. Now, there are those who fail in parenting. We know that. The Bible gives us a guideline. But there's many godly parents who have given all they got, and still yet there's rebellion in their home. Many broken-hearted parents who feel unworthy to even pray sometimes and speak to God. That's what I want to address this evening. The first 9 chapters are an introduction, as we said last week. And the first 9 chapters is dealing with the value of wisdom, heavenly wisdom contrasted with folly. Now we're getting into short sayings, and many times just in one verse, and when you get to the next verse, there's no connection between them. But here we find that in verse 1, we see here that our text speaks of the reality of godly and ungodly children, and it also speaks of the effects that it has on the parents. It can either be good or it can be bad. It can make them glad or it can make them sad. And notice as we read this, he said, "The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, and a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." It's an amazing statement. It's true. We believe it. We see it. We also, many have experienced this. They've experienced one or the other or both, depending on the number of children that they have. Notice some parallel passages. We're reading chapter 17, verse 21. In chapter 17, in verse 21, it says, "He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy." Notice in verse 25, let's read this. "A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him." Chapter 19, Proverbs chapter 19 and in verse 13. I'm just going to read the half of the verse. That a foolish son is the calamity of his father. Notice as we come to chapter 23. Chapter 23, reading verses 15 and 16. He says here, my son, if thine heart be wise, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Notice down as we come to verse 24 through 26. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Verse 26, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Chapter 29 and verse 3. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. And also in verse 15, it says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. We know these scriptures are true, do we not? Breaks the heart of a father or a mother when a child goes astray or a young person goes astray, no matter what age, and it makes glad the heart when they're walking with the Lord and walking in wisdom. If you're taking notes, write down Ecclesiastes 2, verse 18 and 19. Now come back to our text and notice as we come back, even in the New Testament, not asking you to turn there, but in 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. In other words, it brings gladness to the heart. It warms the heart. We also find in the New Testament in 2 Timothy 3:1, one of the signs of the last days is disobedient children to their parents. And also in Romans 1 verse 30, and a list of sins that has a connection with verse 28, which speaks of being a reprobate. We see there that disobedient children to their parents is listed in that as well. Now, notice in our text, first of all, let's take these words here, and then we're going to leave this section and look at some other passages. I want to give you some examples. I want to give you a few examples, the Old Testament and New Testament, of distressed parents because of wayward children. We find here, and I hope it'll be a blessing, hope it'll be a help to those who have experienced this. We find here in this passage, first of all, he says a wise son. Now, this is not a son that has an high IQ. Nothing wrong with a high IQ. That's not what he's talking about. When we go back in chapter 1, as a matter of fact, I'll just read these to you. In chapter 1, we find he's talking about heavenly wisdom, godly wisdom. And verse 5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsel. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. So he's talking about God. When he says a wise son, he's talking about a godly son. A son that fears God and is saved and obedient to the Word of God and obedient to their parents. We see that again. If you're taking notes, chapter 3, verse 7 speaks of being wise and not wise in our own eyes and fear the Lord and depart from evil. Chapter 8 and verse 13 also tells us that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. So what we see here in our text is the wise son is not just the one that has an IQ. I hear parents talk about how smart their children is, and I'll ask them, I said, how spiritual are they? Do they love God? Are they walking with God? That's the only thing that matters to me. And I think it's the only thing that matters to God. And so the wise son is one that is godly and fearing the Lord and walking with the Lord in obedience. But he says now, a foolish son. He said, the wise son shall make a glad father. The word glad means to make happy. It means to give joy and delight, to put a smile on the face of the parents. It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. In other words, it's to be happy, to make happy. And that is so true. When you see children or grandchildren or other people's children, people in the church, we see that it makes us all happy and smile, and we delight in that, and we praise the Lord for that. But then we have the foolish here, and this is the ungodly. It's not just somebody that has a low IQ, it's the ungodly. It's the one that does not fear God, that's lost, that doesn't follow God, but is in rebellion against God and against their parents. That's what this is talking about. Many times parents, I see this a lot in our society, they'll spend their life and their money, their wealth and their time making sure that their children are set up for life and have all the material possessions and never be concerned about their spiritual life. That's sad to me. That reminds me of the parable of the rich ruler in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 15 down to about verse 21. And he was very successful. He wasn't a crook or an outlaw. He's very successful. But what happened is he had no fear of God and he had a false sense of security. And so his security was in his things. And he had no fear of God, and God said, you're a fool. That's what we're talking about here. God said, you're a fool this night. All's going to be taken from you. Your life's going to be taken. And who shall have this? Who shall have this? Our legacy is to leave to our children should be a spiritual legacy. We live in America. Our children are not struggling to eat and to have clothes to wear. They're not struggling in that area. But they're struggling spiritually. Notice also that he said in this, he said, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Now again, this is some gladness here, some sadness here, but still yet, we know that God does have a word for parents with wayward children. And God has not forsaken you. This is not uncommon. It's nothing new. It started in right after the Garden of Eden. It's nothing new. I want you to turn to Genesis. We'll go there first. Genesis chapter 4. It's not that we like it. It's not that we want to justify it. But it is a reality of life. It is a reality of life. The devil will take things like this and discourage people. Get them out of church. Discourage them where they can't even pray and have joy in their heart. And there's a time that you just got to give them to God. You just got to give them to God if they rebel. Now, I want you to notice as we come here to the book of Genesis, and again, I hope this will be encouraging to you and a blessing to you. I want to begin reading in verse 1. I want to give you some examples in the Old Testament and at least one example in the New Testament. But let's talk about our first parents. Let's talk about Adam and Eve, the first family that ever existed. And I believe that they were a godly family in the sense that we can use that today. Adam and Eve, they're a godly family. And the first child that was ever born into this world became a murderer. Amen. Killed his own brother in their own house. And notice as we read in verse 1, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, obviously, God opens and closes the womb, but she's probably thinking more than that. She could even be thinking that this might be the answer to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, to the promised seed, and it would be through this son that there would be deliverance from sin and the sin nature, and the Messiah would come. But we find in verse 2, and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the first thing of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, as we read through the scriptures and put other verses together, we know that in Hebrews chapter 11, I believe it's verse 4, that God accepted Abel's offering here because it was offered in faith and obedience. But he did not accept Cain's offering. And there's other passages also in Jude 11, 1 John 3, 12. We find that it speaks of the way of Cain, which is doing things their own way. And it also speaks that he was of that wicked one. He was of the devil. And I want you to notice that this is a choice that was made. There's two choices that are made here with two children that was raised in the same home, raised the same way. Now, they were coming to worship. They had a place to worship. They had a time to worship, and they had a particular manner in which they worshiped. They were to bring a certain sacrifice. And so the Lord said I'm coming down now to verse 6. And it says, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? He said, And if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." I want to read one other verse in verse 8. But notice in verse 7, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted." Cain made a choice. And that choice was to rebel against God's word. He brought a sacrifice. He did not bring it in obedience. And Abel made a choice. And Abel is recorded in Hebrews 11. And the Bible tells us very clearly that God had not only accepted his sacrifice, but his sacrifice, his face still speaketh. And it still speaketh to this day, 2021. It's still speaking. It's a testimony to us. And Cain is a testimony to obedience. Now, they're raised in a godly home. And the first child that was ever born into this world, notice what happened. It says in verse 8, "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him." That kind of reminds me of what Jesus, you know, had to say in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 through 37. He said the truth, the gospel, divides. And he talks about the fact that there'll be divisions even in the home. Even in the home. We titled that sermon, and it's in booklet form, but "Enemies in Our Household." So we see here in the very beginning, there was an enemy in this household, someone who chose to rebel against God. Don't you know that this grieved the hearts of Adam and Eve in the very beginning, a godly family, and again, their firstborn child kills the secondborn? Think about this. And also we find in verse 16 that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And you know the story of him and his descendants. Notice with me as we turn to Genesis 6. My point this evening is that these things happen. They happen. And we're not to let it discourage us if it happens in our own home. I personally have not dealt with that in my own home, you know, but it's happened in many homes. Notice as we come to Genesis chapter 6, and I want to come down and I want to read verses 8 and 9. And it says here, and by the way, Hebrews 11:7 speaks of Noah, speaks of the fact that he feared God. He loved God. He had faith. He's in the faith chapter. So what we're going to read about is Noah. He's a godly man, man of faith, a good man. He's an obedient man, and not without fault, but this is what we see. He is referred to in the New Testament as a preacher of righteousness. But Noah was also grieved with one of his sons, Ham, chapter 9. He sinned. A lot of people speculate about what that sin is, and they really get carried away with it. The point is, he looked upon the nakedness of his father. I think he just looked upon the nakedness of his father. There's all kind of speculation and commentaries and whatever about what took place there. But it was a sin at the time, and it's still a sin today. But notice what the Bible says about this, though. It says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord," in verse 8. "And these are the generations of Noah." Noah was a what? What's the next word? A just man. And what's the next word? And perfect. And it says, "In his generation," and what's the next? Noah what? He walked with God. This was a good man. This is a man who loved God. God showed, out of all the people on the earth, God says, "I want him to start this whole thing over again." And we find, as we would read through, I'm not going to read it, but chapter 9, beginning in verse 21, down through the end of the chapter, Noah and his wife, they had a broken heart. They had a broken heart. Let's look at this again. Notice with me as we come to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 20. Well, let's go to chapter 26 first. Genesis chapter 26. Now, in between this, I'll give you another one in Genesis 19. Genesis 19. And that's going to be Lot. Genesis 19, verse 14. We know that two daughters came out with Lot. We know what happened to his wife. But Lot had a couple of daughters that did not come out with him that were married. And so when Lot went to talk to them, he was one that mocketh, so to speak. They wouldn't listen. Now, we know Lot had his problems, but he's called a righteous man in the New Testament. He was a man of God, whether, you know, he made mistakes. But we find that his two daughters and the son-in-laws burned in the fire of judgment that God placed upon the city of Sodom. Again, more grief, more heartache. Genesis chapter 26 and verse 35. Now, what about Isaac and Rebekah? Took a long time for them to even have children. Then they had twins. I think Isaac was probably 60 years of age. Probably close to that before they had children. They prayed and prayed, and God gave them children. And Jacob and Esau, one godly and one ungodly. It's choices. They made choices. When they got grown, they made choices. And I want you to notice the grief, because Esau was in rebellion. He's called a profane person in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 12. He's called a profane person. And also, the Bible tells us that Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. The book of Malachi in chapter 1. Why did God hate him? Well, you gotta go to the Bible. You don't need to talk to too many people about that, because they'll have you carried you back before the foundation of the world. But God hated him because of his rebellion, because he rebelled against the Word of God. And what he did, he married ungodly women. And when he seen that it displeased his parents, he even married more of them. Rebellion against God. Notice in chapter 26, I'm reading just the last verse. It said in verse 34, he took two wives here, two or three wives, verse 35, which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Notice in chapter 27, I'm reading in verse 46, and here it is again. We find, and Rebekah said unto Isaac, "I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me?" She was grieved in her heart. He was grieved in his heart because they were taken ungodly wives who would not walk in the covenants of God. And notice in chapter 28, they sent Jacob away. You said, well, Jacob had a few problems. Yes, but he was a godly man. He was a godly man, and he walked according to the Word of God. In chapter 28, I'm reading in verse 1, it said, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And then in verse, let's come down in the same chapter. Notice with me in verse 6, we'll begin reading in verse 6. And when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Notice, and Jacob obeyed, verse 7. He obeyed. But verse 8, and Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, verse 9, he goes and takes some more wives. You know what that is? That's a profane person. He's a wicked person according to Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 16. And God hated him because of his rebellion. This is in the same house. This is in the same house as Jesus spoke about in the New Testament. Let's look at it again. Notice in 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel, and I'm going to be reading in chapter 18, 2 Samuel chapter 18. King Jehoshaphat and King Josiah both had rebellious sons. Not justifying this, I'm not saying it's good. It's sad, and it saddens the hearts of the parents who have children that rebel against God. That's what we're saying. So God does speak to the hearts of distressed parents who have wayward children. He does speak to them. Notice in 2 Samuel chapter 18, and I'm going to be reading from verse 33. And let me just give you two more here in the book of Samuel before I read here. We're going to be talking about David here. But if you were to back up, and not asking you to turn there, but in 1 Samuel 2:12, there's a man by the name of Eli. And he was a priest. He had judged Israel for many, many years. And he had sons who rebelled against God and him, and they were in positions of authority, and he did not deal with his sons as he should. And we find that the end result was that the Ark of God was taken by the Philistines. His two sons were killed in battle, and he ended up the same day when he got the word, he fell off backwards and broke his neck and died. His heart was grieved. He had an opportunity to deal with grown sons, but he did not deal with it as he should. But then the great prophet Samuel, and he was a great prophet, two books by his name. 1 Samuel 8, verse 1 through 5, he had two sons that walked not in the ways of the Lord that he actually put in authority. He was a good man. God loved him and used him, but he made a mistake. He put his two sons in authority. His heart was grieved. Now let's come back to David just for a moment. Now David had a son, Solomon. We're not going to talk about Solomon. He writing the book that we're studying. But Solomon did, I'm sure that David delighted in Solomon. We read about his delight in Solomon. After David was dead, we see what Solomon did and had to repent of that. But David had some other sons, and two of them for sure that was bad, but Absalom. Notice as we read here in chapter 18 and verse 33, we find these words, and by the way, Absalom, in this chapter, beginning back in verse 9, we find that he was a very rebellious son, an adult son, and we find that he died. He was hanging his hair, hanging in a tree, and then there was some darts put through his heart. He was killed. He died in a horrible way. And this broke David's heart. And he said in verse 33, and the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And he was thus, and as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son. You'll see this again in chapter 19 and in verse 4. It said, but the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son. His son died because of his rebellion. And David, again, it doesn't matter the circumstances. It breaks the heart of parents when they disobey or whatever, and even when they die because of the rebellion against God. So it's still a broken heart. It's sadness to the father and the mother. Well, notice now as we come to the New Testament, and we're coming to the book of Luke in chapter 15 with the prodigal son. What are parents to do? They're to train their children. They're to pray for them. They are to be an example to them. They're to discipline them. They're to speak to them, they're to warn them, but they are never to compromise. That even if the children rebel, parents are never to compromise. They're never to make excuses. Be careful, parents. If you have a tendency to make excuses when they're this tall, you'll make excuses for them when they're this tall. Be very careful. Be very, very careful. Rebellion is rebellion, whether it's in a small or a young adult. So be careful that we are to never make excuses. And let me say this, parents. Never let rebellious children rob you of your joy and your walk with the Lord. Never let that happen. Never let it destroy you. And it can destroy you. Now notice as we come here to Luke chapter 15. You see, you're not alone if you have a child that's wayward. Now, I'm not saying that makes it any easier. This is nothing new. It started in the very beginning in Genesis 4. It's sad. It still breaks hearts and whatever. But in other words, you just have to give them to God. Speak the truth every opportunity you have. Never compromise. Never give up your faith. And never condone what they're doing, if they're in rebellion against God. You know what I get tired of hearing of young adults. Young adults still blaming their parents for everything. I get so tired of that. I was raised up without a mother, and I have a wonderful relationship with my mother. My father wasn't around all that much either. Him and I had a great relationship. And I see children. I mean, this has become really bad in our country to always blame somebody else for our problem. You know, there's a time for young adults to grow up and to get saved and be forgiving. I mean, I had relatives, I had uncles that were drunks and living with my grandmother. I had an uncle that. When I was 10 years of age, beat me with his fist drunk. And years later, after I had become a Christian and become a preacher, I played a role in this uncle coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And we were dear friends till the day he died. Anytime I went to my hometown and he found out I was there, he would look me up and he would sit down and ask questions and listen to my teaching for 2 hours at a time. Amen. Let's just do this right here. Let me just read verse 18 and 19. Verse 18 and 19. at least a few verses here. This is the prodigal son. You know what this son did? He came beginning in verse 11. You can read verse 11 down through verse 32. This son, he came and asked for his inheritance, the younger son. The father gave it to him and let him go. The father always prayed. And when this man was ready to repent of his sins and apologize, he came back. And here's what the father did. In verse 18, I will rise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And by the way, that's what the sins are against. It's against God and against the parents. And he said in verse 19, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thine hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. I'm going to read just a few other verses. And he says, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on him and shoes on him, and bring hither the fatted calf. You know the story. He says in verse 24, my son was dead and now he's alive. The son repented. Son repented, and the father was very, very forgiving, you know, in that. But I'm just leaving this with you, and those that will listen to this message, is that there are many distressed parents in our country and our society because of wayward children. And I hope these things will be an encouragement, not to justify it, not to say it's wonderful, it's not wonderful. It breaks our hearts to see it. It breaks my heart to see others, you know, rebelling, even friends of mine or people in the church or whatever. But the point is that God has addressed this in His Word, and it is real. And God wants us to keep serving Him no matter who decides to quit or back off. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank Thee this evening for loving us. We thank Thee for the privilege You've given us to again come together. And Father, I pray tonight that Thy will to be done in our service as we sing, as we pray again and closing the service and the prayer requests that will be lifted up. We just pray, Lord, for Your direction, for Your guidance and Your mercy. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.